Earlier this week, Pat Titheridge directed me to a YouTube link, which we've put into the bulletin for you, which highlights a wonderful example of Christian service. So several weeks ago now, you will have seen the dramatic and frightening images of the explosion in the port at Beirut. There was, first of all, the fire and the dark smoke, and then the eruption of this explosion with a shock wave so powerful you could actually see it and see it approaching people. It flattened buildings at the port and it destroyed nearby buildings. It shattered the windows of buildings even several kilometers away, such was the power. Many people died. Over 5,000 were injured and over 300,000 lost their homes in that explosion. Staff at the Beirut Baptist School, who are 3.5 kilometers from the explosion, swung into action to help the local people. This school has partnership links around the world and here in Auckland as well. In the video, it was explained what the Christians were doing, saying, "This video is made to encourage us. And when you see this, thank the Lord and keep us in your prayers." And I hope you will take opportunity to have a look at that video and see what the Christians there are doing, and that it may inspire thankfulness in your hearts. So the Bible school has hostel facilities, and initially they made those rooms available to the first responders. And when the first responders had gone, they then made those rooms available to local people who had lost their homes. They are providing food and water to people whose lives had been shattered by tragedy after tragedy. And in a very real way, this is loving kindness in action. This is what Christian people do and have done all around the world at various times when there has been significant need. So have a look in the bulletin. Perhaps God might put it on your heart to pray and perhaps even to send some sort of a donation to help our brothers and sisters as they're ministering to people in the city of Beirut. As Christians, we are a family who serve. We see this service and the care and the actions of our sisters and brothers in Beirut, and we also see it throughout the Old and New Testaments. And when we begin to speak of service from a biblical perspective, I wonder what it is that comes to mind for you. Perhaps to the front of your mind comes the example of Joshua, who said, "If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." For some others, you might think of the servant songs in Isaiah, and it points to the coming Messiah saying, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." Or perhaps you think even of the words of Jesus, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." As we think about this, you might think of the boy Samuel, who served in the temple of God, the faithful servant heart of Ruth, who was so helpful to Naomi, of Martha, who was serving in the kitchen to provide for Jesus and the disciples, of Jesus himself, washing the feet of the disciples, or of Stephen, who helped to distribute food to widows in the early church. There are so many examples throughout the Bible that we can find and identify, because in the scriptures, service is clearly a central theme. Over a number of years, I have helped the church and people to identify their spiritual gifts. And as we do this, we find some, but not too many, who identify themselves as having the spiritual gifts of being evangelists, or preachers or teachers. But the most common gift might surprise you. Perhaps you may not have heard of it. It's only mentioned once in the list of the gifts. But I know when I do mention it, some of you will think, oh, this relates to me. And it's the gift of helping. Some of you might be wondering, well, helping, is that really a spiritual gift? And of course, many people help without, in a sense, having a spiritual gift. But when you begin to think of this, some of you will be having a bit of an aha moment, because you find in your lives, God is constantly inspiring you to help. You find this gift of helping on the same list as apostles and teachers, and even before the gift of speaking in tongues. And so we read, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. And the person with the spiritual gift of helping tends to work in the background to get things done. This person will often use their time and their energy to undertake God's work joyfully. They will tend to see things that need to be done and think, I can help, I can do that, and identify ways to help even before others see the need. Such people can be described as having a servant heart. And I think it's truly wonderful that among the gifts, God gives this gift of helping so that so many people can become involved in the life of the church in ways that are very, very useful. Now, you may have wrongly seen this as being less important. You may say to yourself, all I'm doing is putting out the chairs. All I'm doing is cleaning the benches or the windows. All I'm doing is giving someone a ride to church or to an appointment. You may think, I just help out where it's needed. I'm not doing anything great. And you might wonder, why hasn't God given me a spiritual gift, when all along what you're doing really is a gifting? The gift of helping is enabling for Christian service. And Christian service is where the rubber meets the road. It's good in a way to think in ways that are virtuous, to think about Christian doctrines, to study theology. It's good to read Christian books and listen to sermons. But at some point, we need to apply those things practically in our lives to put the theory into action. And James points to this when writing, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and without daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. In the New Testament, we have this whole book written by Luke, which since the second century has been called Acts. It outlines the acts, the actions of the apostles, as they are inspired by the Holy Spirit into action. And it gives us an insight into the history of the early church. And we know that when we read about the early church, we see them behaving with generosity and with love towards one another, sharing food, even selling possessions so as to be able to provide for the needs of others. And we see them setting aside people like Stephen to ensure that the widows were fairly and properly cared for. This sense of service and generosity not only happened in Jerusalem, but became a part of Christian life wherever it spread. And so we read of Christians in Macedonia taking up a collection because they had heard of the poor Christians in Jerusalem. And so they sent their gift with Paul on one of his visits. We see this generosity and service deep in the heart of the church throughout history at different times as you look at what the church has done. Establishing health care, to the fore in establishing places of education. And even in our own lives, think about your Christian life and the things that have happened over the years. How often have you been encouraged in some way to take part or to send funds to help people dig wells to provide clean water for people, or to provide education to people, even education in agricultural methods, building schools, providing libraries, providing aid in a time of storm or famine, sending mercy ships or medical aid to others? Even if you've only been in a church for a short time, you will have been encouraged to be involved in some way in serving others, either directly or through helping to fund others to be able to serve. One of the most moving passages in the scripture is found in Philippians, which Lauren read for us today. In a very poetic form, it describes how Jesus, who was by nature God, humbled himself and took on the nature of a servant. And so we read of Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And do you see the transposition here? By nature, God, but taking the nature of a servant. By nature, God, taking the nature of a servant. This is what God has done for us. This is totally amazing, to think that God would act in this way for us, to serve us in such a lowly way. And if God takes the nature of a servant, then we can expect God to expect us also to serve. If we are to resemble our Savior, who said, "I am among you as one who serves," then we will also serve. Not only those with the gift of helping, but all of us will be involved in service in some way. When we join God's family, we begin to set aside selfish ambition and begin to take on humility and to look beyond our own interests. This is the attitude of one who serves. And so I made a list that I sent out in the bulletin, and I hope you've had an opportunity to look at it. A list of highlights from our church life, simply from the beginning of this year until now. I keep this list to remind us of the many acts of service in our church. And I wonder, when you read that list, which of those warms your heart the most? Where do you see the sacrificial service in those things that we have done? And so I've recorded to date 44 highlights, including events and ministries with children, with youth, and with adults. I may have overlooked something, and if I have, please let me know so that I can add it to the list. And in that list, we see a mix of service to God, service to the church, service to the wider community. I keep this list not so that we can pat each other on the back and say, "Well done," although we should be doing that and encouraging each other. I keep the list primarily so that we will remember all that God has been doing and be able to thank him for those things. We acknowledge before God, and I think this wonderful verse in Isaiah, which says, "All that we have accomplished, you have done for us." Now imagine that list of 44 things that I've noted, but of course there'll be many other things I don't know anything about. Imagine we take that list in our church and multiply it by the number of churches in Auckland, or in the community, or in the nation, or in the world. And then we have an unimaginable list of acts of service, acts of love and kindness that unfold day by day as God inspires his people to action. Through the Bible, God reveals a great deal about service. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "Serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this command, love your neighbor as yourself. Or each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Service is at the heart of our church family. Service is an expression of our faithfulness to God and our love for each other. As a people redeemed by God, as this redeemed family, we are called to be his children and to take on this idea of service. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And so I ask you, how are you serving? What forms of service are you involved in the community or through the church? What is your joyful expression of love for God and God's family as you serve? Well, we know in the Bible that Luke wrote the book of Acts to record the actions of the early Christians. And that physical book was recorded for us about 2,000 years ago. But it also continues to be written in the annals of God's book of life. And I wonder what the paragraph on my life reads like. What does the section of the book on your life look like? A sentence, a paragraph, a page, a chapter? One of the things that I really look forward to in eternity, and I hope that this comes to pass, is to be able to sit down with Christians throughout the ages and to ask them, what was it like for you in your age? I often think of sitting down with someone from medieval times, perhaps the life of an uneducated farm worker, a blacksmith, someone with subsistence living in a forest or a fishing village, and asking them, what was it like for you to be able to express your love for God? And how did you serve God in your life? What was it like in your circumstances? And I hope to have the opportunity to be able to reply to them, for them to hear the sentence or paragraph or chapter on my life, how I served God, that I would have something to be able to tell them. And then having shared that together, to worship God with thankfulness for what he has done throughout the ages. And suppose you have the opportunity to do this with perhaps 10 or 20 or 100 or 10,000 people in eternity. Will you or will I wish we had something more recorded in that book to be able to share about our service, about our lives on earth, things we had done in love, acts of kindness and mercy from our lives, a story of generosity, like we read of our brothers and sisters in Beirut, helping the people of their city? You see, God has prepared good works in advance for us. Are we letting those moments slip by? Or are we taking hold of them and engaging in them? Now, I'm not saying this to make anyone feel guilty or to place a burden on you, but just to remind you, as I remind myself, we are called to serve our Lord, to serve our brothers and sisters in the church, to serve our community with the gifts that we have received. Hopefully, our time in level 3 will be brief, and soon we can begin to meet together again on site to serve each other and to serve the community around us. In the meantime, we have the AGM reports, and I hope that you're able to read them and to gain encouragement from them. Perhaps you could look at them as part of the story of Greyfriars and how we are serving. Maybe you can identify in them some area of ministry you would like to be involved in the coming year, so that you can be a part of this. Perhaps you can turn the achievements listed in these reports into prayers of thanks, and the concerns and the reports into prayers of intercession, in this way supporting our church family together. I think those reports, as we read them, and we'll come to them again in our AGM, reveal a family that is inspired by God to share and to serve. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you looking to the interests of others. Amen.